Very happy to be with them today. When we were here before in August, it was August, right? There were a few more of us. And one of them, which was my son, he said for me to be sure to say hello to you if I came here. He wanted to come this trip, but just was not able to get it together. Hallelujah. I want to pray, if I may. Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're asking you, Father, for your divine intervention. We're asking for your divine presence. Father, I pray that you would speak the word of God to each and every heart here. It's not so much the words as it is the spirit. And Father, we want the living logos, and we want the living bread. So we pray that you would break it for us this evening, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There is a particular scripture that comes to my mind this evening. And it is found in Genesis chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn them to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading verse 26. But I want to say a few things about it first. Praise God. There was a thought that God had when he created the world. And it's the overshadowing, prevailing thought that of God that is in and through to the very back or the finish of this Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God never intended for man to build religious kingdoms. To settle down as a member in a church and try to live their lives as the best they could and with some help from God make it through to the end of the day. That is not the original thought of God. Hallelujah. And we see the original thought of God here in this first chapter.
Genesis.
The whole aspect of what God created as far as the world is concerned, as far as the universe that we know is concerned, he did not create it for himself. He created it for the aspect or the fact of what he was going to create on the sixth day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that creation that he was going to create was man. And you see it in verse 26, where it says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness." Make man in our own image, in our own likeness. So, what is the image of God? The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. And that if you want to worship God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. But we are not spirit per se, we are flesh and blood and bone. And yet the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. So So there must be some other basis of image that God is referring to than the physical form and shape that you and I have with regards to the aspect of God. Not only that, but there's such a variety and a vast difference between civilizations and societies and people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what just exactly is the image of God? Well, it's important for us to understand that because it is basically a key by which we can begin to understand God. Now, the Bible tells us that God is a Trinity. He is a Trinity. Three in one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do we all agree with that? I want to make sure we're in agreement. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, you are also created as a triune being. You are a Trinity as you sit there in your chair. Hallelujah. You are spirit. You are soul. And you are body. So in the triuneness of God, there is a triuneness of man. And there's something else that is in link with the aspect of image and likeness. And that something else is the aspect of what substance we are created out of, and what is the link between that substance and God. Hallelujah. When God created the heavens and the earth, when he created the whales, the great fish of the sea, it does not give us specific detail. It just says that God created these things. But when it comes down to man, it is very specific. Because man was created in a peculiar and specific manner that is unlike anything else that God created. Hallelujah. Now, we are made of the dust of the ground. Our bodies are elements that are dust of the ground. The minerals that are in the ground are compatible with the minerals that are in our bodies.
Praise the Lord.
That is one of the reasons why we are able to eat the food that comes forth out of the ground. There is something that is compatible with it and with us that gives us the health and vitality that we need. Hallelujah. But there was one thing that God did with man that he did not do with anything else that he created. Because it tells us that God breathed his breath into man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when we are talking about the breath of God, we are not talking about air that we breathe. Remember, God is a spirit. He doesn't need to breathe. if we can work that out in our minds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when it says that God breathed into man, hallelujah, it means that out of God, God issued energy. And it's almost, it would be like the energy that you have in the wire. And it's hooked to a bulb. But that bulb doesn't work until you flip the switch. And then as the electricity goes into the bulb, and the way that the bulb is made with the components that are in it, it brings light. Hallelujah. Without the energy, there is no light. Without the energy, none of the elements in the bulb are of any value. It takes the energy of God, takes the energy of the electricity, and it takes the energy of God to make what God created work in the way that it's supposed to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when God made man, when he breathed into man, that energy that went into man transformed the earthly elements of dirt and iron and calcium and magnesium. And it changed the form into this physical flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is just, you want to look at it this way, it's just another form of dirt in a different form, in a different fashion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God says, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that energy of God not only transformed the elements of the ground into a human being, but it says that the man became a living soul. Up to that time, the man had no soul. Hallelujah. God created the living soul in the man. Hallelujah. Now, that soul that was living is not the same as what it is that we are born with as a baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a difference between that soul and a living soul. Because in the transgression that Adam and Eve perpetuated, or participated in, hallelujah, man fell, man became dead. Hallelujah. His soul died. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I want to go back to the living soul. And because of the unique fashion in which God brought man to that state of living, because it was something that came forth out of God, it came forth in a eternal sense. It became eternal.
Okay.
Hallelujah. That means that whether it lived or died, it was eternal. Whether it would live, or would it die physically, spiritually, spiritually speaking, it was eternal. That soul would be eternal.
That's okay.
We'll get through it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is something that we have to be really aware of. Hallelujah. That God, and there was a purpose for which God created this man. And it is a purpose for which God created this man as he created him in the beginning. Hello? Hallelujah. Because, you know, it seems as if you read the story that God must have made a mistake somehow, some way. For man to do what man did and end up in the place that he ended up in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But believe me, there is no mistake. Hallelujah. God does not make mistakes. We call him Alpha. And we call him Omega. That means he is the beginning and he is the end.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You don't want to translate that, huh? And if he is the beginning, and if he is the end, he knew what was going to happen before it happened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it must have been that God was working according to a plan. God had an objective in his mind. Well, we do know that God had an objective. And the objective was to make man like him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Make man like him. Now, you're probably thinking, yes, we live as a Christian, we die, we go to heaven, we become like God. I have problems with that. I have scriptural problems with that. Because in the New Testament, it says, they, which are those that have gone on before us, who have passed through death and who are now with the Lord, it says they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Hallelujah. Are you familiar with that verse? Hallelujah. So it seems as though heaven, in the sense that we have it, doesn't bring perfection. Is my reasoning faulty? Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you look at the scripture, hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is that in God's thinking, and the way that he created us, and the fact that man fell, it was all in the plan of God to give man the ability to become like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me put it into a practical sense, if I may. You go to school, you get an education, maybe. Or you just go and get a job. And you're an ambitious person. You're a creative person because you're made like God. And you don't want to stay down here. But you want to be able to climb up to a higher level, to a higher level of success. Success. Everybody has that desire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And let's say that you do go to school. You go to all through school, you go to university, you graduate. You have your degree in your hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you go to an interview and they hire you. Are they going to hire you and put you in the top position? Or are they going to put you at the bottom of the ladder? What are they going to do? Hallelujah. They're going to put you at the bottom of the ladder and see how you perform. Hallelujah. You know, I was a contractor, a building contractor, for almost 20-some years. And many young men would come to me with skills and abilities and things to build. But I never put them in that position to start with. I gave them all the little dirty jobs. Hallelujah. Cleaning up the websites, cleaning up the work sites, fetching materials, fetching tools. Hallelujah. I wanted to see how they would perform. I wanted to see what their interest was. I also wanted to see what their tenacity was as far as their desire to be a good carpenter. And maybe at one point become responsible for a job that I have contracted. Become responsible for a job that I have.
Okay.
Put them in charge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they had to work their way up the ladder, so to speak. Hallelujah. Well, it's somewhat similar in the aspect of what God did with man. God wanted an entity, a personality that would be like him in the aspect of who and what God was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he not only created man and created his environment, but he also instigated or started the changing of that environment to instigate the process that would make man like him. Hallelujah. Now, in Romans, as you go into Romans, especially Romans, the 8th chapter, it changes the terminology a little bit. Instead of saying that he wants man to be like him, he says he wants man to be his son. Hallelujah. Let us read a verse or two there, just so you get the context of it. Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter. Praise God. By the way, just as a little side note, the Bible is a numerical book. It's a book of numbers. And numbers are significant with regards to the Hebrew and to the Greek. Their alphabet was also their numeric system. Is it similar here? No, it's not. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And numbers are very significant. Like 8 is the number of new beginnings. Hallelujah. And the 8th chapter of Romans is dealing with the aspect of a new beginning and a new position for man. Hallelujah. So it says here, I'm going to start at the 16th verse. 16th verse of the 8th chapter. Let me read the verse first and then you can read.
No.
The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to define the word children. There are two words in the Greek that the Greek use for children and sons, children, sons as children.
But
one word is technon. One Greek word is technon. That means a small child. The other one is
Julios.
That means a mature son. But technos and Julios are derived from the same parentage. You understand? So, as it is being used in context with the scripture, whether it is little child or whether it is a grown son, it is saying, this is of my blood.
Hallelujah.
So it says that our spirit that bears witness with the spirit that we are the technon of God. And if technon are children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. So God is defining the position of how he views our position of relationship with him. Hallelujah. I want to jump up here to the verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when it says they are the sons of God, that is not just a religious term to identify you and me as a Christian. Hallelujah. All right. I want to go to another verse to show you. John, 1 John, I believe it is. Maybe it's 1 John. 1 John chapter
3.
It says, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now that word now is very important. It means has been, we are, and that we shall continue to be or to become more mature in that position of sonship. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to go back a little bit to the beginning. I had told you that there was a plan in place that God was working to concerning man. Hallelujah. Now, when I say man, I am meaning male and female. Hallelujah. Because it says in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. Hallelujah. So what I am saying about man applies to you ladies also. Hallelujah. And so there is a scripture. Hallelujah. There is a scripture that is in Revelation that tells us the aspect of that plan. It begins to shed light on that plan. This is found in Revelation chapter 13. Hallelujah. The context of the scripture of the chapter is the aspect of how there is this entity that is called the dragon or the beast. And the power that was given to him to make war against the saints. But in verse 8, now remember, 8 is the number of new beginnings. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is the beast or the dragon. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. It says the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hello. Hallelujah. It means that in God's mind, that lamb, that sacrifice, that propitiation for sin had already been done. Hallelujah. And it was done on the provision of how man would, on the basis of how man would have to go. In order to achieve the objective to be like God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if that lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth, then that means that there was a door open to humanity prior to the fall of Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we have scriptural examples that demonstrate the reality of this principle. It says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in the aspect of the lamb being slain, being as God is Alpha, and he's Omega, the principle of that blood shedding is prevailing from the time the world was formed until the end of it down the road somewhere.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If it
were not so, then Enoch could not have done what Enoch did. You're familiar with Enoch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Hallelujah. And that in walking with God, he became so connected to God and so much understanding the revelation of God, hallelujah, that God had to take him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That would not have been possible if Enoch would not have found the spiritual reality of the shedding of that blood from the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have different examples in the scripture that illustrate the reality of this aspect of God and the blood. Hallelujah. Now, we go down through history about 4 to 5, maybe 6 to 7,000 years, about 6,000 years or so. Hallelujah. Christ has come. Christ has come in the physical sense. He has lived, he has died, he has resurrected. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But when they crucified God, yes, Jesus, but it was God. Hallelujah. God, he had a prayer. He said a prayer prior to his crucifixion. And it is a very significant prayer. Because what he said is, Father, give me the glory that I had with you prior to the formation and the founding of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when Christ came, when Jesus came, he came as a man that had the life DNA of God inside of him. Hello? Hallelujah. But he had divested himself of that omnipotence of God. He had taken off
from himself.
He had removed from himself the omnipotence of God. Jesus was not omnipresent as a man. He was not omnipresent. He could not be everywhere at the same time. Hallelujah. He was not all-knowing. I mean, he did not have all of the information. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had to go to the Father. He says, whatsoever the Father says, I say.
Huh?
Whatsoever the Father does, I do. Hallelujah. So he really did not even have the all power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had to watch the Father.
Amen.
He had to be in contact with the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had not yet moved over or validated his position as a man that was fit for that endowment. Hallelujah. I want to go to John. John chapter 17. And I want to read it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because there's a qualification here. Jesus had to qualify as a man who walked with God. Okay. Let me start here at the second verse of John chapter 17. No, let's go. Let's just start at verse 1. Let me read the first verse. There, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to the heavens and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came as a man. He came as a child to be brought up in the house of his Joseph and Mary. He had brothers and sisters that he had to deal with. He was also the oldest of the family. And he had responsibilities. He had to be taught the law and all of those things that pertain to the scriptures that they had available at that time. We also know that that he was in subjection to his parents. Hallelujah. And he lived his life in a fashion, in a form, and overcoming the humanity that he was clothed with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, there is a scripture that says that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he had to work at being, he had to work at overcoming the instinct the essence of his carnal man. And he had now come to a phase in that development to where he could now pray a particular prayer. Hallelujah. We think that it is after the crucifixion in the resurrection that Jesus received the endowment from the Father. Hallelujah. But that's not true. This scripture says otherwise. I have glorified thee, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine, thank you very much. Glorify thou me, I lost my place. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Hallelujah. Now, you have to remember, if you want to know what that glory was, you can go to John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you think he got the glory? Do you think he got the glory?
Huh?
He just asked the Father for the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we know he got the glory. Because he turns around, he turned right around and gives it to the disciples. It's here somewhere. Okay, well, I'll find it and give it to you. We're here tomorrow. I have to look for it. So he asked the Father for the glory, and then he turns around here in one of these passages of scriptures, and he gives them that glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that when Jesus Christ went to the cross. I'm sorry?
Verse
22. Verse 15.
Glory thou
to them. Verse what now?
22. Glory which thou gavest me, I have given.
Yes. Yes, praise God. So he gave them the glory. So he got the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this chapter, in the aspect of how he is now praying for his disciples, and in the aspect of what it was he was giving them, was a prophetic promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you remember when he said to Peter? Hallelujah.
Peter,
the devil desires to sift thee like wheat.
Peter,
hallelujah. But I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. And of course, we know that Peter did not demonstrate any of that glory that he is giving to them prior to his crucifixion. Hallelujah. 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 So there was a glory and there was an essence that was imparted to Jesus Christ at that particular moment. Hallelujah. The Bible says there's a principle that says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, there was a statute in Israel that you could not have the blood as food. Hallelujah. You could not have the blood as food because of that principle. Hallelujah. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, even prior to that, when they began to beat him and to whip him, and the blood began to run out of him, hallelujah, the life of God that was in his blood was being released. Hallelujah. The life that was in him was being released. The totality of God that was in his blood, the energy that was there because of that, hallelujah, was being released. Hallelujah. And it was so important, the procedure in which they used against him, in order that all of the blood that was in his body might be drained out. Hallelujah. 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 And as he was hanging on the cross, and they took that spear and they ran it up through his side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Piercing his lung and going through his heart. Hallelujah. The blood that was there just ran out, just gushed out. But it was not just that red plasma, that red thing that we call blood. It was the energy of God that was in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same energy that is in Genesis chapter 1 when it says God breathed into Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when that blood, you know, that blood had to be taken to God. Hello? Hallelujah. Yeah, that blood had to be carried, that life substance of being had to be carried to God. Hallelujah. And when God said, it is righteous. Hello? Hallelujah. It activated that blood that was in this environment, that had been loose in this environment. Hallelujah. So when you walk up to a man and you begin to talk to them about their need for God. Hallelujah. And if you are being led of the Spirit, and your words are spirit, then your words are life. Hallelujah. And it activates the energy of that blood that is in the environment. Hallelujah. To speak to the man or the woman. Hallelujah. And when it speaks, not the things that you say with your mouth. Hallelujah. It is the life essence of God that is utilizing the energy of God that is available. Hallelujah. Amen. That creates within that individual an ability to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And that man becomes born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to stop right there. Maybe we can pick it up tomorrow. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.